Oh, come on. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night? Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Numbers. And I know that I've already spoken with several people since I got here. And there's a lot of people that tell me they listen to my podcast. So some of you have probably heard what I'm about to preach. But I was praying this afternoon, and I felt like the Lord wants me to preach this. So I feel like it's going to help someone, not only tonight, but I think going into the future, it's going to help. Amen. I believe God's going to do something very powerful here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like there's a healing touch of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Somebody shout yes. Hallelujah. Book of Numbers, the 16th chapter, and verse number 4. Say amen when you have it. Numbers 16 and 4 says, "And when Moses heard it, he fell." Everyone say fell. "He fell upon his face." Now we're going to go over to Numbers 20 and verse number 6. Go to the right and you won't get left. Hallelujah. Book of Numbers 20 and 6 says, "And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell." Everyone say fell. "And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them." Now we're going to go backwards to Numbers 14 and 5, and there's a reason I'm doing this. Book of Numbers 14 and verse 5. It says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell." Everyone say fell. "Fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." With the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you on this very simple thought: the fine art of falling on your face. The fine art of falling on your face. Can you say amen? I want you to slip your hand in the air right now. Hallelujah. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that a spirit of tenacity would come over us right now. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would receive strength in our inner man right now to apprehend and capture every promise that you've ever given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone shout amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand and give them a great big God bless you before you're seated. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew language, there are a good number of words which can only be spoken of in the plural form. It does not matter if you're speaking of one or of many. The subject is always in the plural. For example, the word face. The word face in Hebrew is panim. In Hebrew, nobody only has one face. Everyone has faces. This might seem strange to us at first, given that here in America and in the Western world, we have an idiom and an insult that bad people are two-faced. But when you think about it, all of us have to have a different face for different occasions, or at least you should. Truth be told, life demands that we learn when it's time to change faces. The face manifests the inner and emotional status of a person. In fact, in Hebrew, there is another word which is very closely related to the word face. It is the word pana, which means inner or innermost. Because the face reveals what's going on the inside of us. And so these two words are closely linked, because it is the face that showcases our pain, our joy, our grief, our love, our peace, our pleasure, our despair, our hopes. When we look at the scriptures, we see that it has a lot to say about Moses and faces. Exodus 2 and 2 says that Moses was a beautiful child. They did not come to this conclusion by looking at his feet. Hallelujah. Exodus 2 and 15 says, Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. Exodus 3 says that Moses hides his face at the burning bush. Exodus 33 says, Moses desired to see the Lord's face. It goes on to say several verses later that the Lord and Moses spoke face to face. Exodus 34 says that the skin on Moses' face shined. And the Apostle Paul would tell us thousands of years later in 2 Corinthians 13 that Moses' face shined so much that he had to wear a veil over it. But perhaps the most interesting thing the Bible has to say about Moses and his faces is that there were times when life became so complicated, so internally and externally complicated, that all he could do was fall on his face. I am concerned tonight that if we are not careful, we will lose our appreciation for the fine art of falling on our faces. The bulk of modern Christianity scoffs at this type of behavior. The idea of falling on your face strikes so many people as something primitive, unsophisticated, and uncouth. We cannot afford to be passive about the things in life that really matter. The intensity of our problems must be matched with an intensity to find solutions. I want to preach to this church right now that it doesn't matter how much you fast, it doesn't matter how much we tithe or give in offerings, it doesn't matter how sophisticated we are, it doesn't even matter how nice we dress or how faithful we are in attendance, there will come a problem in all of our lives that will demand that you get on your face and pray. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise right now. If you are not careful, you will come into a service and care too much about what other people say. If you are not careful, you will come into a service one day with a lot of weight on your shoulders and caring too much about what everybody else says, and you will refuse and you will miss out on the opportunity to get on your face before God and get the answers and the solutions that you need. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what the denominational world is doing. I don't care what people say is unsophisticated or primitive. I have a Bible here that gives me a lot of scripture for getting on my face before Almighty God and seeking an answer in the morning, in the noontime, in... I want to talk to you about three situations that Moses had to get on his face about. And I feel that all three of these, amen, will happen at least once in all of our lives. And Moses sets a good example. The first is in Numbers 16 that we just read a few minutes ago. Moses is falsely accused by his cousin Korah of being opportunistic, power hungry, and overreaching. I want to talk to you about what to do when you are falsely accused. At some point or another, when people falsely accuse you, you're going to find out that you can't fight every fire. You're going to find out that you don't have the time to argue with everybody tick for tack about what they're saying about you. But I'll tell you what you need to make time for. It's time to get on your face and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. And let God settle the whole thing. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, sometimes when you go over your relative's house and they start saying all kinds of crazy stuff about you and your husband, you can sit there and argue with your mother. You could sit there and argue with your father. You could sit there and argue with your aunts and your cousins, but you've been doing that for a long time. How about just getting on your face and praying and saying, God, I need you to turn this around. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You young people, I hope you're listening to me right now, because not everybody attends the school here at church. And even if you do attend the school here at church, you'll find out, young person, that young people are great at starting rumors. Young people are good at saying things that are not true. Young people, sometimes they mean evil by it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they think it's funny when it's really not. But there will come a point in it all when you can't argue with everybody about what they heard about you, but what you can do is get on your face and pray and ask God to straighten it out. Hallelujah. There might even come a time when a teacher is saying something about you that's not true. There might even come a time when a teacher is pointing you out and accusing you of things while they're dismissing what the other students are doing. You can argue with the principal. You can argue, amen, with the teacher. You can argue with the other kids. But I'll tell you what, the best place to go is to the church and get on your face and pray. Don't waste your energy arguing with people. Amen. God will help. Hallelujah. And I pastor, and I can only tell you that when I preach about being falsely accused, I get a little nervous because you always got that one person that's got a son who's a six-time felon, and they want to talk about their babies being falsely accused. Hallelujah. Don't get quiet on me, praise God. I'm not preaching, amen, to that right now. Hallelujah. That's another sermon. But I do want to say this. We are living in a society, amen, where people do not want to assume responsibility for their behaviors and for their actions. And on top of that, we are what we call Christians. And the Apostle James said about Christians, he said, in many things we offend all. Amen. Everybody's not crazy about your little skirt and your poof. Everybody's not crazy about the fact that you get Wednesday nights off and Sundays off so you can come to church. Everybody doesn't think that that's cool. Amen. And there will be people, amen, who will mess up on the job. There will be people that drop, amen, the watermelon, amen, at work, and they will not want to assume responsibility for what they've done, and they will find it totally appropriate to point the finger at you and blame you, amen, for things you never did, amen. And you're not going to have time to fight all those fires. You're not going to have enough in your arsenal to put out and extinguish all those fires. But what you do have is an opportunity to get on your face and pray before Almighty God and tell Him to fix the situation. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus a great big hand praise right now. I know to a lot of people this message might not be making sense, but you just live a little while. You're going to see, hallelujah, the devil will raise up his little hoofs and start saying all kinds of stuff about you. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, greater is He that is with us and that is within us than he that is in the world. And you can pray to God and He can. Amen. I'm sure I've probably told this story here before, but I remember some years ago, I had a very good job. I was just coming to the Lord, and I had been seeking employment, and I landed this really good job. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody right here, right now. Hallelujah. And I remember getting this job. I thought, man, God is so good. I've never had a job quite like this. The pay was great. The situation was great. I had the days off for church, and I thought, man, this is going really good. And then the manager called me into the office, and she had a envelope in her hand, and she said, "This is for you." And I'm thinking, man, I haven't even been here but a little while. Now I'm already getting bonus checks. Hallelujah. God's good. But she was very quick to clarify that it was not a bonus check, but my last check. It was a boot check, not a bonus check. Hallelujah. I was getting booted. Hallelujah. I was getting fired. And she proceeded to tell me that a coworker that I had, amen, was saying all kinds of things about me. And I remember just sitting there with my mouth open and thinking, I never even talked to this person. I've never even interacted with this person. Here they are saying all kinds of things about me. And she just started going on and on and on. And I thought, you know, I'm going to argue this. This is not right. I'm going to go hire me a lawyer about this. Hallelujah. And argue this. This is not the right thing. But something just told me, no, just leave it alone. Hallelujah. And so I got up. I took that last check. I got in my car. I cried all the way home. I cried when I walked through the front door. I cried when I got through the living room. I cried when I got into my bedroom. And I cried when I closed the door. I cried when I got on my knees. And I continued to cry when I got on my face. And I began to tell Jesus, "You gave me this job. You blessed me with this job. And now the devil has messed with it. And now the devil has tried to stop this, to discourage me, amen, from serving you, from going to church, from being faithful. I don't receive this. God, I need you to shut
the mouth of Korah. God, I need you to fix this situation. Can I tell you that in a few short weeks, I had a better job than that one? Amen. Not because I got any smarter, not because I had more experience, but because I got on my face and I prayed to Jesus. Oh, come on, New Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And can I say, hands down, hallelujah, New Life is one, at least not in the top two or three churches that I preach at, amen, where the praise and worship is exuberant. I commend you for that. There are very few churches I go to where people do flips in the front row, amen. But I do want you to know this, amen, New Life, let's add something, amen, to our repertoire of weapons. Let's just not be known as the praising church. Let's be known as the pray at home church, amen. Let it be known all over this place. If you need a miracle, you need to go down to that church, because they got some folks that'll get on their face and pray. Amen. If you need, oh, come on, New Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some prayer. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. Oh, come on, for about five more seconds. Oh, hallelujah. We have Friday night prayer at our church, and I thank God for it. It is a powerful time. But there is one thing I cannot impress enough on the saints of our church, and that is you got to get on your face at home. You got to pray at home. You got to let your kids wake up in the morning and hear what war sounds like. I don't want to raise a generation of children that don't know the sound of war, and when swords start getting pulled out, they get scared and hide under the table. I don't want to raise, I'm telling you what kind of kid I want to raise. I want to raise the kind of kid that when mama and daddy are in trouble, they can get up 2 a.m. and join the battle. I want to, and you know, that doesn't just happen by accident. That happens by osmosis. That happens by them hearing it, by them catching it. Amen. I'm telling you, prayer is contagious. And I'm telling you what, I want to raise kids that know, if I ain't living right, I better be careful, because mama will pray me down. Daddy will pray me down. I want to be known like that in my family. I want to be known like that among my children. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Oh, hallelujah. And this is not part of my message, but I feel so impressed right now to preach to a young lady. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're sitting, but the Holy Ghost has got you on its radar. And God is calling you up a little bit higher. God is calling you, young lady, to get on your face and pray in the morning for your mama and daddy. And I believe that you're going to break some chains that are on their life. And you're going to see the day, amen, when you get up in the morning on a Sunday and your mom's going to say, "Are you going to church?" And you're going to say, "Mama, you know that's where I go." And she's going to say, "We're going with you this morning." I'm talking to somebody right now, but you're going to have to get on your face. Honey, this is how you get the victory. This is how we break chains. This is how we do battle. Somebody say amen. Amen. We will have to get on our face when people want us to give them things we don't have. In Numbers 20 and verse 6, the children of Israel tell Moses, "We need water, but there is no water. There's only rocks." And God tells Moses, well, Moses tells God, "We need water." But before he did anything, he got on his face. There will come a time when you will be asked to produce things you just don't have. You know, they're called bills. Hallelujah. There will be time you'll get not so friendly letters in the mail with nice red letters on them. Time sensitive. Open now. You're leaving. There'll be times you just don't have it.
There'll be times it's your fault you don't have it. And I don't even like preaching this too much, but I can tell you early on, I was always faithful in my tithing and offering to the Lord. But there was just times I did not manage my money right. There was times I had to call my pastor and tell him, Pastor, I gave my tithe and I gave my offering, but the rest of it, I blew it. I didn't spend it right. And you know what my pastor would tell me? He'd say, Brother Prado, you need to get on your face and you need to repent and tell the Lord that you misappropriated the funds he gave you, amen, to get by. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to tell you, there was a lot of times I got on my face and I told Jesus, I misused that money. I spent money I shouldn't have. I bought things I shouldn't have. Sometimes the Lord said, just get up and return it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there was other times that was not possible. Hallelujah. And when it was not possible, at the very sound of repentance, at the very sight of humility, at the very, come on somebody, at the very seeing of me getting on my face, God, amen, gave me honor I didn't deserve. God gave me blessings I had not earned. God helped me out of that situation. God provided water. Come on, I've seen water come out of rocks. I've seen water come out of rocks. I've seen water to pay the IRS. I've seen water to pay the doctor bill. I've seen... Come on, I'm going to just sit. I'm going to just put it in park right there until this gets a hold of somebody. I know it's Wednesday night and somebody's afraid we might break out into a prayer meeting. So what? Come on, hallelujah. Are you more nervous about breaking out into a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night? Or do you want that situation handled? Do you want that situation fixed? Do you want, oh Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I just told brother Collins here, I was telling him a story the other day about how my wife got really sick on me, amen, and we were doing our best to be faithful to God, and this was not our fault, this was not our doing, but the doctors told us, your wife's going to have to go into an emergency operation, and what should have been just, amen, a very quick in and out operation ended up with my wife in intensive care, hallelujah, and it was one of the most freakiest things we ever went through. We thought we were going to be in and out and everything was going to be okay. And I was in the middle of a revival. And I usually don't even talk about these kinds of things, but I remember being in the middle of a revival. Amen. And the pastor told me, amen, if you're not going to be showing up to church tonight to preach, well, then you're going to have to find another way to provide for yourself. Brother, I'm telling you, it devastated me. It broke my heart. I was inside a hospital with my wife, unconscious, amen, losing blood by the pint. Amen. And I didn't know what I was going to do, and the doctors were telling us, we're not going to go any further till you sign these papers. You got to pay these bills. And it was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was in the thousands. I'm telling you though, amen, I'm so glad for a little chapel in the hospital, and I'm so glad, amen, that I had a pastor that taught me how to pray, and I was able to link up with a many great cloud of witnesses, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, within a matter of seconds, somebody called me and they said, Brother Prado, what's wrong? And I told them what was going on. They said, I'm going down to the bank right now and I'm going to deposit that money into your account. Come on, people, I'm telling you, you serve a God that can make water come out of rocks. You serve a God that can... I've been alive long enough and I've been living for God long enough to know there ain't no man that's my provider. There might be men that are my employers, but God is my provider. And God said that he had known. God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And God said he'd supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God said that if you ask those things which are my will and in my name, you shall have them. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, New Life. God's ministering to somebody right now. Go, 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 go. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? I'm one of those guys. I just really believe when you pray, you need to tell God exactly what you want. I tell God the color, the make, the model, the year. I tell God the dollar and the cents. And sometimes I even round it up to the highest dollar. Hallelujah.
Hey, God's a big boy. He can handle you talking like that. He's not some being off in past outer space who's not interested in your problems. I'm telling you, the Bible says we have a very present help in our time of need. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something that is killing Pentecost right now. You have Pentecost that we're dying. Amen. And I don't really believe this is the problem here, but it can happen to any of us as individuals. We lose our tenacity. We lose our bite. Hallelujah. Problems happen to us and we just keep taking it on the chin like nothing's happening. We keep getting smacked around, thrown down, stepped on. Amen. And we don't get angry about it. We don't get frustrated about it. We don't go to fasting about it. We don't go to praying about it. I'm telling you, God is looking for a generation of people that when it comes to them and the devil, they're not turning the cheek. They're getting up to smack right back. They're getting up to fight right back. They're getting up to pray. They're getting up. Come on, don't die in the casual. Get tenacious about your situation. Get it. Oh, come on, give God a hand praise right now. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost really talking to somebody right now. I'm not trying to draw this out. Oh, hallelujah. He done a little, done a little, done a little, done a little, but so done a little, but so done. He done a little, 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 but so. He done a little, but done a little, done a little, but so done a little, but so. Oh, come on, new life, come on. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving on somebody right now. I want every hand lifted up right now just for a few seconds. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Our final example comes from Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 5. The children of Israel again are murmuring and complaining about not having water. But this time their murmuring is embedded with a rather ugly phraseology that will appear in their language repeatedly throughout the Bible. And it is the cry that, was there not graves for us in Egypt? Was not life better back there? Why would God bring us out here to die? I'm just going to go back to where God brought us out from. When everybody around you, or even some people around you that you care about, decide to go back to Egypt, you're going to have to get on your face. I can tell you, I have, when I came to God, I came with several friends. I did not come by myself. And one by one, I've seen my friends go back to Egypt. And there was a lot of times, Brother Collins, I thought, man, I might go back too. And there was a lot of times it didn't matter how many scriptures I had memorized, how much I had really tried to dedicate myself to God. I'm telling you, I felt my commitment to God begin to waver. And I tried to rationalize it out in my head and just tell myself, you know, I'm not going back. I know what's out there, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I could still feel hell just working on me and working on me and working on me. I can remember several prayer meetings. I just had to get down to the church and start praying. And there was a lot of times I had to go from just knowing that there was nothing out there to knowing that there was nothing out there. I had to let that conviction go down 18 inches from my brain to my heart. And I had to get on my face to do that, friend. That didn't just happen with me rebuking the devil a few times and quoting a few verses of the Bible. I had to get on my face and tell God, I'm not going back to Egypt. And there was times I had to tell God, Lord, Lord, you see how my flesh is ripping through me right now. You see all the doubts and all the fears. God, you see the people leaving. God, you know that I don't want to go to hell, but God, you know that my flesh is fighting with you, and my flesh is fighting with me, and I need your help. And brother, I'm telling you right now, after every one of those prayer meetings, I got up a better man. I got up with some grit and some conviction. Amen. I'm not afraid to tell you that I've stood in situations, amen, where I've looked to my right and my left and seen people leaving. I'm not afraid to tell you that I've stood in situations, amen, where I've seen my best friends betray their pastors. I'm not afraid to tell you I've been in situations where I've seen people leave the church and take others with them and think to myself, what in the world is going on? I'm not afraid to tell you I've been in situations where I hear the preaching, but I don't hear the preaching because I'm so confused and I'm so disoriented. But I'm also proud to tell you that we serve a God that if you will get on your face, he will give you convictions that will leave you steadfast in the faith. Your friends won't be able to move you. Your mom and dad won't be able to move you. Your brother won't be able to move you. Your backslid relatives won't be able to move you. There'll be something so deep in your spirit. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Oh, let's all stand with our hands in the air. Hallelujah. Hamarabota bababakata. Oh, come on, just soak this in for a few seconds. Hallelujah. If you feel like burying your face in your pew, you go ahead and do that right now. Hallelujah. Shadaradadaladabosanda. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Harabando rebe senderelerebobo senderelerebo senderelereboso. This feels like a really good service, amen, for a woman to get over here and pray for her husband that just will not come with her to church. This feels like one of those services where a young person can get on their face right now and pray until God gets a hold of their backslid brother and sister. This seems like one of those services where a young man who's been wrestling with stuff, amen, not because you're awful, amen, but because you're lonely, hallelujah. This seems like one of those services where you can get on your face and pray, hallelujah, until God begins to help you to mortify the deeds of your flesh through the Spirit, hallelujah. This is one of those services where a married couple who just can't seem to stop fighting, hallelujah, can get on their face and pray, amen, hallelujah. This is one of those services, hallelujah, where somebody can, for the first time, amen, develop a commitment and a conviction, hallelujah, that they are going to have a daily prayer life before they go to school, before they go to work, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah.